And wow, here we are, Christmas Day. We have just spent the last 4 weeks in a season of Advent, hopefully preparing our hearts and preparing our homes for this day. We have talked and sung and prayed these last 4 weeks about coming and beholding the peace that delivers, the joy that is offered, the hope that he brings, and the love that is promised. And all of that Advent season culminating in this day, Christmas Day, where all that is fulfilled in the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is why we can gather and say Merry Christmas together. It's a privilege to be able to share the word with you this morning. And my Christmas gift to you is that I will keep it short. In light of the privilege to share God's word, what I wanted to do this morning is just encourage us, really just remind us that today is not the end of the celebration of the season of Advent. You know, often we think of this day as an event. All the season, that I mean, the stores start, what, in July, right? And we gather, we talk about it, we sing songs. Y102 plays it all through November and December. We have Advent, and we're leading up to this day. And all the anticipation, the preparation, the celebration leading to this day can leave us a little bit bewildered tomorrow. It's over. It's done. Christmas has come and gone yet once again, and there's a natural letdown. In fact, there's a psychological condition termed post-adrenaline blues for this feeling. Psychology Today says post-adrenaline blues can strike after major positive events like a wedding or graduation or a celebration of a holiday. They can strike after a long burst of effort over a major work or a challenge in a personal project, like preparing for a family move. The key trigger seems to be, so says Psychology Today, intense, sustained effort that ends abruptly. And so I was just asked by someone here this morning, said, can you believe it? Christmas is over. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want to address this morning, because today is not the end. It is a beginning. It is the beginning of a celebration. It is the beginning of Jesus's mission, right? We just sang a song. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. He was on a mission. And so we, on Christmas Day, we come and we stand amazed, you people. We see how God is reconciled, see his plans of love accomplished, see his gift, this newborn child, see the mighty weak and tender, see the word which is now mute, see the sovereign without splendor, see the fullness destitute. Jesus's humble birth in Bethlehem was the beginning of the mission that God was reconciling the world to himself. Philippians chapter 2 says it like this: Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. And being found in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. There was a mission and a plan that was beginning. The very Creator who spoke the world into existence, humbling himself, stepping down out of heaven, taking on flesh, and becoming like you and me. It is unthinkable that the King of all kings, enthroned in glory, would come to our broken world to make us whole. But he did this to save us and to show us the way back to the Father. And this was new. This was a new beginning. And so today, on Christmas Day, we celebrate not an ending, but a beginning of mission. So fast forward with me now. through the mission life of Jesus Christ. After Jesus' miraculous and humble birth in Bethlehem, he grew, as Luke 2 tells us, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And by the age of 12, he was sitting among teachers in the temple, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at Jesus' understanding and his answers, even at an early age. And then we're told in Mark that Jesus, in his early years, was trained as a carpenter. And when the time was ready, he began his public ministry, which was only 3 very short years. But in those 3 years, he went about preaching and teaching, sharing and caring, calling disciples, healing the blind and the sick and the lame, calming storms, feeding multitudes with small amounts of food, casting out demons, performing various and sundry kinds of miracles, shepherding his flock, and frustrating the governmental leaders so much that they falsely arrested him. They flogged him, they stripped him, and crucified him among common thieves on a Roman cross on a hill called Gethsemane. And all of this was to fulfill what the prophets had predicted long ago, and following the plan of God to serve as a sacrifice once and for all for God's people. This was his mission, and this started on Christmas Day. There's an old paper written by a fellow named James Francis. Many of you who are gray around the temples will remember this writing, but I would like to introduce this writing to some of you that may have never heard it. It's a writing called One Solitary Life, speaking of Jesus' life on earth. He wrote, "Jesus was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go to college. He never lived in a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. And he was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. But 20 plus centuries have come and gone, and today he remains the central figure of the human race. I think it is true when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, all put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life." And that's the way that James Francis sums that up. Jesus had a singular mission: to come to his own and to bring them back to him. He came to our world to bring us back home to his world. He was sent by the Father to go to a world that many, even his own, would not receive him. And he was sent to be the light and love of God incarnate. He was the Word coming among us. And then after his death and burial in a borrowed tomb, the silence of 3 days was shattered with the cries of victory as Jesus rose from the dead, and we can declare, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, but thanks be to Jesus Christ. He has given us the victory indeed. And then after his resurrection, as we're flying through the mission life of Jesus, we pick up in John chapter 20, which is our focal passage this morning. If you have that in copy of your God's Word or on your phone or in your bulletin this morning, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. This passage is the first time Jesus meets with his disciples after his resurrection. And we read here in John 20, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side. And then the disciples were so glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." That leads us to point two, the co-mission that we are on with God. God the Father sent the Son sends his disciples. That's you. That's me. The commission is to be on mission as we seek to fulfill how Matthew 28 puts the Great Commission. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Again, the promise of the Holy Spirit going with us. We are sent to show the world this hope, love, joy, and peace found in the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He came on mission. He came to be with us, to show us the Father. And that is the mission he is sending us on. Not just to think about people, though we should. Not just to love people, though we should. Not just to tell people about him, though we should. Not just to give money, though we should. Not just to give so others can tell the word, though we should. Not just to meet their physical needs, though we should. All of these things are good, and we should be about them. But God calls us and sends us to be with them intentionally, pointing them back to the Father. As the Father sent the Son to show us the Word and to show us the Father, so he sends us to the world to point them back to the Word and the Father. Now, I'm not saying, as the catchphrase around ministry circles is today, be on incarnational ministry. I'm not saying that we are to be incarnational in the same way that Jesus was. That's an impossibility, right? Jesus coming incarnate in flesh and blood was unique and profound to Jesus Christ alone. Jesus is asking us not just to be with people, but to be with them as he was, intentional and desperate for them to understand and to know who God the Father was. He came as the Word. We go to share the Word. But in much the same way he was received, we will be received. There's an old gospel song called "So Send I You," taken from this passage. Hear these lyrics. "So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, over wandering souls, to work, to weep, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world aweary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and longing with heart, a hungering for the loved and known, forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear ones. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine," in the last verse. "So send I you, our hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary with me, As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. That's our reminder this morning that we are on commission with God. That's why I love our sanctuary. I love the windows, because I think if we gather in here as we should, but we forget we're to go with the love of God out there, then we have failed. And we often fail, right? I mean, we can believe the right things. We can truly know that God and His Word makes a difference in our own lives. But because of fear of man or social awkwardness or what will they think, often we are not on commission with God. We are on omission with God. We are not doing what we know we need to be doing that God has sent us to do. I mean, I'm looking at faithful people here. You are on here in worship on Christmas Day at 11 o'clock. Many of you left kids screaming at home to be here, and I am thankful that you are here. I'm looking at faithful people, yet even we often forget that God has sent us on a purpose and a mission. We get comfortable in our own faith, but just sometimes I just don't go out and live it out as I should among the lost. We fail to be often intentional, right, in our life and in our ministry. And that's what Jesus sends us to do, to be intentional in everything that we do. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells us to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to live a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose, which He gave us in Christ Jesus. Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light so shine among others that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven, that they may give back praise to the Father, that they may understand the love of the Father, that they may know that they can come to the Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is our commission with the Savior. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. He sends us to repeat that sounding joy again and again and again to this city and to our world. And again, the Lord does not send us out alone, right? He tells us in the passage in John we read and in the Great Commission we read a little bit earlier as well, that He sends with us the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that He breathed on those disciples, He gives to us. That same promised Spirit in the Great Commission, that same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is alive and at work in the hearts of those who know Jesus Christ. That should give us great confidence to be on commission with God, knowing that we don't go alone. He allows us to participate on mission with Him. So on this Christmas Day, 2022, fast forward your life as I did with Jesus' story. But let's just fast forward 1 year. Think about Christmas Day 2023. It won't be on a Sunday. In fact, it'll be 11 years before you get to gather on a Sunday on Christmas Day again, thanks to leap year messing up the 7-year cycle. Who will you have been intentional with this coming year before Christmas 2023? Do you believe God wants to use you? Do you believe that you are on commission with Christ? If so, go repeat the sounding joy that we sang about this morning. Repeat it over and over and over again to those God is sending you to impact. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Many of you are about that mission. So many of the modern heroes of the faith are in this church for me. I look at you and I see you doing it, and I am thankful for your example. But if some of us, like myself, fail to do what we feel like we need to be doing, then this day is a reminder that it's Christmas Day is not an ending of a celebration, but the beginning of an opportunity for us to be on commission with God. By way of application, let me recap the essence of John 20 again. Jesus declares to them, his disciples, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." He stands, Jesus, in the same relation to the Father as that in which they stand to him. He declares to them, and they in his name are to declare to the world. He and they stand also in the same relation to the world. At this very moment, they are assembled in behind, remember, shut doors for fear of those that might hate and persecute them. And he is sending us to a world that might do the same to them and to us. So by application, two things. I use the word incarnational. Maybe I should use the word intentional. I think that's better. But think of one person that you would like to engage in intentional ministry with this coming year. Probably that first name that popped into your head right now is who you ought to be praying about. And look for opportunities, just even one person, to be intentional with. To remember that even as God sent Jesus to the world, he is sending us to show the world the love of the Father. Who is that one person that you can be praying about, that you can be intentional with this year? The second thing is consider a short-term mission trip. Join the 500. We have a goal here at the church in the next few years of sending 500 of us on short-term mission trips because we are convinced that getting out of your comfort zone and going into a place that needs to hear the Word of God and being put there intentionally will whet your appetite for intentional ministry where you live, among your circles of influence. You can go online to our church website. There's a website printed there in your bulletin on the sermon outline. We have many opportunities this coming year even to go on short-term mission trips by yourself or with your family. Great opportunities for you to go about as the Father has sent us. Henry Blackerby brought attention to this concept that says God is at work all around us. He just invites us to be a part, to be on mission with him about what he is already doing. So let this Christmas day be a joyful reminder that you have been given another year to start afresh on commission with God. Doesn't it feel good to live life on purpose? Would you pray with me? And I'm going to pray a prayer, Puritan prayer from the Valley of Vision that speaks of this. God, indeed, hear our prayers. Thou hast given me a Savior. Produce in me a faith to live by him, to make him all of my desire, all of my hope, all of my glory. May I enter him as my refuge, build on him as my foundation, walk in him as my way, follow him as my guide, conform to him as my example, receive his instructions as my prophet, rely on his intercession as my high priest, and obey him as my king. May I never be ashamed of him or his words, but joyfully bear his reproach, never displease him by unholy conduct, never count it a glory if I take it patiently when buffeted for a fault. Never make the multitude my model. Never delay when thy word invites me to advance with him. May thy dear Son preserve me from this present evil world so that its smiles will never allure, nor its frowns terrify, nor its vices defile, nor its errors delude me. May I feel that I am a stranger and a pilgrim here on earth, declaring plainly that I seek a country, my title to it becoming daily more clear, my meetness for it more perfect, my foretaste of it more abundant, and whatsoever I do, may it be done in the Savior's name. God, as we go forth from this place on this Christmas day, may you give us opportunity to speak the love of Christ, to show the love of Christ, to point people to the Word. As you sent your Son Jesus, so send you us. Go with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.